Okay, the reading again is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions of their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you are still belonging to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. With their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of God for the people of God.
In order to help you better understand this kind of challenging scripture reading, I'm going to put it into context from the time in which it was written. 2,000 years ago, the church in Colossae, which is the Colossian church whom this letter is written, was being led astray. So they thought they were going in a certain direction for Jesus Christ, but false teachers came in, and these leaders were sort of distorting the teachings of Jesus just a little bit and imposing a set of rules where they insisted they were needed. Some of these rules were, as the scripture tells us, food restrictions, special observances, and other rituals. These rules, just so you know, came partly from the Jewish believers that were living in the area at that time, and so some of the festivals and eating specific foods came from the Jewish believers. But it also came from some of the pagan religions. If you remember the Greek gods and the Roman gods and a variety, there were lots of god worshiping going on, little g gods. And so these, all of these sort of were permeating. The moon festival, that's a pagan ritual. And I'm not saying that these rules or rituals are bad. What I'm saying and what the Apostle Paul is telling us is that the people did them because they were told to do them, not really knowing why they were worshiping in such a way. These were human-made rituals, not Christ-made rituals. They lacked meaning, and instead of bringing people closer to Jesus Christ, they were actually separating them from Jesus even more, which is why Paul, who is a servant of Jesus Christ, is coming in and saying, wait a minute, folks. This is not how we worship in the Christian church. In verses 18 and 19, I'm going to read that again for you. You already heard it, but I'll read it again. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their inspired mind, puffed up in the sort of convictions that they have. They have lost the connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by the ligaments, grows in God. And so they're separating themselves from Jesus Christ by imposing these different rules. This kind of rulemaking in the church makes it so it becomes human-made religion instead of a God-centered or Christ-centered religion. And when this happens, unfortunately, people lose their connection with Jesus Christ. They're led astray and are condemned by those rule makers for not following the rules. Now, I'm going to venture to guess that there are some rule makers out there, right? You like to make rules. And then there's some rule breakers, right? Any rule breakers? Yeah? Occasionally we all like to break the rules, right? And when they're sort of unreasonable rules, that's when we want to break them even more. But for the Colossian church, without this critical connection to Jesus Christ, the religious practices of the church became distorted. Verse 19, again, losing connection with the head. I don't know if you know who the head is, what the head is. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ, yeah. Not your pastor standing up here, but Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And when we lose connection with Jesus Christ, we lose connection with what teachings Jesus would have us be about. And it is this connection with Jesus that keeps us, as Christ's followers, focused on what is essential in our faith and what leads to transformation in our faith. There are numerous churches today, and some, by the way, are growing very rapidly. You probably know some, who claim to be Christ followers, and yet they have imposed a set of rules for their members to follow that are not very connected to Christ. They're human-made rules and often sort of straying from the original gospel of Jesus Christ. The trouble is, when they impose all these rules on people, they also impose punishment when the rules are not followed as they're expected to be followed. In the Bible, we call these false teachers. Teachers who come along and teach counter to the faith of Jesus Christ. These false teachers tend to look down or even condemn those who don't adhere to the rules or don't follow the rules, those within the organization and those living outside the organization. If this weren't Tipton First United Methodist Church, I'd be in big trouble. Anybody know why? Short skirt. Short skirt. Yes, you can see my knees. What else?
Short hair.
Short hair? Yes, short hair. What? I'm a female, yes. What business do I have up here preaching? Right? My toes are polished, by the way. That's kind of a big deal. What else about my head? It's not covered, yes. So thank goodness we're in the Tipton First United Methodist Church, because I can be your pastor and I can preach. And there aren't a bunch of rules imposed upon me to do that. But we know that there are churches where that is not appropriate, where that's not acceptable. And some of these false teachers that impose these rules have forgotten that the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't about what you wear and how you act. It's about John 3:16. Can we do it together? John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? We all have our own version, but that's okay, because we learned it. We learned it in whatever version. Now, it doesn't say in there that eternal life is because a person follows a set of rules, does it? What does it say? Yeah, whoever believes. That's all it says. Whomever believes. That simple. The good news of Jesus Christ is enough to secure salvation if you believe in Jesus Christ. Salvation is in no way dependent upon the things that you eat or don't eat, the ways that you worship, or the clothes that you wear. It has nothing at all to do with it. And there's nothing that any of us, not a single one of us sitting here, can do to make us more worthy of salvation or less worthy of salvation. Did you know that? There's nothing we can do that'll make us more worthy or less worthy. Bottom line, if we believe, it's ours for the taking. We must be careful then to not condemn others who live out their faith differently than we do. Hopefully I don't sound too hypocritical talking about churches that impose rules and then us saying, well, I mean, I don't want to be condemning in the way that I do that. There's just no human on earth who is worthy of judging in God's place. None. Not in this church, not in any church, anywhere, any place, in any community, is there anybody that can judge in God's place. Christ has the final word for our salvation. His death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day made that so. So as we gather each week, we sit here, we all are different. We all have different preferences. We're all wearing different clothing. We all have different values. And yet we can come together because Christ offers unity in salvation. Unity in that when he died for people, he died for all people. We're all equal in the way that Christ died for all of us. Not just some of us, but Christ died for all of us. Salvation isn't dependent upon the job that you have or don't have. It's not dependent upon your marital status, whatever your marital status is, your hair color or your lack of hair. It's not dependent on what car you drive or if you like to walk or ride your bike. It's not dependent upon whether you attend worship every week or whether you attend some of the time. Whether you eat the right foods or buy them at the right store or bless them at the table in a certain way, we all receive Jesus' salvation no matter what. We're all different, and no matter what, we all receive salvation. So my friends, let us be careful not to condemn or look down on others. Let's, among each other, not impose a bunch of rules on each other, on fellow believers. Let's not be careful. Let's be very, very careful not to derail somebody of their faith because we're imposing rules on them about that faith. It's the way that we conduct ourselves that really matters. It's the ways that we come together in community and reflect Jesus Christ in this space and in the community out there. Christ does not condemn, so neither should we. Our belief in Jesus Christ is the way that we stay connected. And we can do that through prayer, we can do that through service, we can do that through worship. That's what's important. Verse 20, one more time. Since you died with Christ, we all died with Christ when we believed. The elemental spiritual forces of this world. So then why do we live by a bunch of rules? We died to Christ and that's enough. Why live by a bunch of unrealistic rules? Now don't get me wrong, rules are important, right? They order society, they order classrooms, they order the way things happen in our world. But when it comes to eternal life, the rules don't matter. It is only belief in Jesus Christ, because Christ's grace is enough for all of us. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the grace in which you impart upon each of us. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.